Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight, we're back in the Cafe Book Club. Woo-hoo! We're going over Getting the Love That You Really Want by Harville Hendrix. And we're going through Chapter 4. So this is an amazing and, gosh, so much great information in it. We're doing romantic love, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on behind that. We're going to talk about some four key questions that if you've been in love for a long time, maybe you've heard these things. So we're going to kind of talk about the backstory with some of these questions. I think it would be really interesting to go, and we'll go ahead and bring on my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you tonight?
I need love. I need love, romantic love.
We'll go get Ross and see how that works out for you. We were doing Astro before we came on the air. And then we have Miss Michelle is with us tonight. Hey, Michelle, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just making a little love potion of transference, projection, and denial over here.
Loving it.
That goes right along. That'll be a good little side course to go on with everything else we got going on here. Just so that everything's
like
perfect.
A lovely appetizer.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. So right at the top of the chapter, Harville talks about, you know, having these peak love experiences. It can be, you know, think about when you first were in love, and gosh, you just it seems like nothing in the world was wrong, and you'd even look at yourself and say, gosh, I'm looking really good, and all the endorphins and everything are just flowing through. And, you know, what's interesting with that is that scientists just can't explain why that happened. I think that's so interesting, and I'd love for you guys to jump in on any point with this and be adding to the conversation. So I just think it's so interesting. I know all of us have been in love, and we know what it's like to you just have the, you know, you can't eat, and gosh, he's so great, and, you know, all these things just start bubbling up to the surface. So how about you, Amy?
Well, you know, they do talk about the chemistry, literally the chemistry of love, and how natural hormones and chemicals flood our body with this sense of well-being. And, you know, we talk about being addicted to love, and I know people that just go from one addiction to another in terms of this love thing. And it really is chemically based, and I think that's something that's really important to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Go ahead, Michelle.
They do talk about that the brain increases its production of endorphins and kephalins,
sure.
And that those are natural narcotics which enhance a sense of security and comfort. And who doesn't want to feel that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's go fall in love. I think it's a good thing, you know. But, I mean, you know, I think with us, too, is when it comes to romantic love, isn't that why we buy a puppy? Come on. We want a puppy, right?
Well,
that's the security and comfort with your puppy.
I don't buy one. I go to the shelter.
Yeah, well, besides
there you go.
That.
And, you know, and you get your mini fix. There you go.
Well, okay, but that's all romantic, Robin. Yes, a puppy, they smell good and they're so cute,
mm-hmm.
but then they're crapping everywhere and they're chewing on everything. So you get those
mm-hmm.
endorphins for a little while, but then you've got to deal with reality.
Exactly. So either way, reality starts sinking in. So, you know, we're like moving on. So we've got this whole universal language of love, and Harville talks about, you know, the brain is given a chance to feel nurtured and to regain a sense of wholeness. And boy, if we've gone through these chapters, we've talked about there's the beginnings of where we were being taken care of, our caretakers, be it a mom or our dad or any kind of just people in general in our lives that were older than us that were taking care of us. So all these things came up for us of different things of what's good and bad and really what we're seeking to do when it comes to any relationship. But in particular, we're talking about romantic love, is to be able to have those things that we didn't get in childhood, whether it was abandonment or having somebody judge us harshly or whatever it was, finding that person who basically can make those things right and have it be something where we can move into and just having it be this person really just helps me to resolve all those things that I never got with as a child. So and I really loved the last chapter we had, with chapter 3. I mean, it was even going back to her infancy and the way that we were treated as an infant. And boy, if you haven't a chance to look at that, to me that was very eye opening about not even thinking about. You know, one of the examples was, you know, being 4 years old and being thrown into the, you know, a lake so you can learn how to swim, and you know, seeing that kind of thing and people not really thinking about it, what it's like on the other side for that child. And not having a sense of safety, what that can look like, and stuff like that. So, anything with that? You guys want to jump on for that?
Well, that's what we're searching for when we're looking for another person to be in an intimate relationship, is to be nurtured and regain our original wholeness.
So there's he goes through 4 different questions. Which I think is really interesting. And each one of these has, he basically kind of frames it with a phenomenon. And the first one was, I know we've just met, but somehow I feel as though I already know you. And he calls this comfortable resonance in the phenomenon of recognition. And again, it's kind of going back to that connection that once again, we're having a sense of that caretaker. So, did you guys have these different things that people were saying to you?
I think it all comes back to those 4 points really are about why you're drawn to that person, and coming back to what we've been looking at this whole time, right? And feeling like Michelle was saying, getting us back to wholeness, those 4 questions, those 4 parts, are things that go, oh, yes, that's them. Does that make sense, Michelle? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually not really even a question. It's just four basic sentences that we find ourselves saying early on in a relationship. And even if we don't verbalize that sentence directly or words like that, we have the feeling inside that these things are true. So the phenomenon of recognition, of course, because we're looking for, we attract an imago, right? What we talked about in the last chapter, the person who represents the most important people that were affected us in our early childhood. It's an amalgamation of all of those people, like maybe your grandma, your father and your brother, who knows who it is for each person, but of course you're going to have a phenomenon of recognition because that's why we are seeking out the relationship. We're looking for somebody who will be that imago. So that's the first one.
So the second one is, I can't remember when I didn't know you, and they call that the phenomenon of that timelessness. And it's that whole thing of, and Harville goes on, you know, in that instant, he talks about our old brain, our remembering of as a child, really fuses with the image of the current person who's in front of us. So it's almost like we kind of transpose all those feelings and everything into like making habit, so it makes sense with this person, where it's timelessness, and it's like, of course I've always known you because, you know, there's so much of that person that I'm seeing in you, right?
What's
for being able
like
to have things
collapse?
Being familiar.
Right, it's almost like time collapses, that because you're thrown back to that place.
Yeah. And then Bruce Lipton talks about, who wrote The Biology of Belief, talks about the subconscious mind versus the conscious mind. And the conscious mind is able to project into the future and go back into the past, but the subconscious mind only lives in the present. So, searching for a mate is something that's done through the subconscious mind. So, of course, it's going to be timeless because it does. It only lives in the present moment. It cannot recognize any other time than now.
That's a really good way to put that. And thank you for bringing that up, because, like you said, the present moment, that's all that exists. So that would make sense in that timelessness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Thank you for bringing that up, Michelle. So,
sure.
And then the third one is when we met, it was like opening a door and finding someone home. There was a sense of completion. And, you know, along with that, too, is like when I'm with you, I feel whole and complete. So they, you know, he calls it the phenomenon of unification.
Reunification,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is connecting parts of ourselves that we had felt cut off with in childhood. And, you know, I think that's what's interesting, too, is I'm thinking of, like, even when somebody's in a relationship, no matter what kind of relationship, you know, whether it's somebody in first love and having just that significant other, or even having it where you've got somebody where there can be, they're committing adultery, and then having this whole sense of that same thing. It's like this one person in my life now is helping me to have a sense of myself that I cut off in my childhood. I'm being able to have a sense of myself that I've shut off. And now I can be in, you know, exploring those things again about myself. And you're basically there to help me to tap into those things that I've forgotten about, or I've suppressed and didn't know that I could have those out and still have a sense of myself. So I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anything with that, Amy?
Well, and then bringing it all together, the four parts, that whole phenomenon of necessity. If I without you, I'm not going to live. I can't survive without you. And so those four parts come together to latch you onto that person. You've got those chemicals working. And then it moves into you want to hold them there, but you're brought together to heal it and move forward. But then there's this juxtaposition. I can't do that because I'll lose this. Is that make sense, Michelle? Am I reading that right?
Can you say that again?
So how I'm seeing this is this brings you to this, it attracts you to that person, but the fear of, you know, I'll die without them. So we hold into this space of that they talk about fostering the illusion, and that subconscious play acting or conscious play acting. So we don't move from that. I've got you. I'm going to hold you there. But aren't we drawn together to heal past that?
Well, we think that we don't have to heal that part of ourselves because we have it in front of us in that
right.
other person. So then
yeah,
we don't have to do the work.
Exactly. So that's what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
But when you look at all
until the puppy starts pooping and it gets messy. Yeah, okay.
But still ignore it.
I'm going to bring the puppy back in again because, you know, we know the puppy's coming. So it's okay.
But when you look at all four of these phenomenons, the phenomenon of recognition, of timelessness, of reunification, and of necessity, to me it just sounds like a spiritual experience.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
True.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
In this type of relationship when really, you know, we need to go inside and do that within with our Creator, and then we don't have to do that with another person.
That's
right.
A good point.
You know, I think it's a very good point, and I think that's part of why romantic love can go so wrong is because looking to have all those things being satisfied by another person instead of knowing that it's something within ourselves that we can have it be this experience that we have with, like you're saying, with our sense of God and our sense of, you know, coming to a deeper level of ourselves, which can be very, very powerful. Yeah.
Well, and I want to bring the point back in that we've talked about in the other times we've talked about this, that this is also happening in our friendships and in our work relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. You know, when you get into a work situation and you've got people that you just feel very connected to, and, you know,
oh, yeah.
you have the same sense of purpose. You have the same sense of purpose, and you're all moving along. You spend way more time with, you know, people at work sometimes than you do with your significant other, that's for sure. So it's just having all these things and looking at these things in such a level of relationship that it's really so much more important to really look at it when it's just a sense of connection. And how is that helping me to know myself and just, you know, who I am in the world? It's very, very important.
And
so
I
part of this
wanna...
whole... Go ahead, Michelle.
I don't want to throw this out and dance with this, and Michelle, because you've worked with this a lot longer, where they talk about it on the page about fostering illusion, and this mm-hmm. play acting to maintain this illusion that holds that four parts into place. And what I see is what came to me, and I was writing some notes this morning, it was talking about that dating is not, most cases, not authentic relating. And it's holding that space of what you think they need and not moving past that. And I hear from people all the time, you know, the relationship was perfect, and then all of a sudden, you know, you've changed. Well, most of the time when that's happening, it isn't that the person's changed, that they've really stopped playing a role and they're being themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's exhausting to play that role.
To look like you're a normal person.
Right. You know, yeah, it's like when you see these women and they like have makeup on and they like get up early in the morning and they make themselves up for the guy
right,
wakes up
the
and then they get back in bed and say like, I look like this every morning when I wake up. You're like, ah, no, you don't.
But the
not at all.
Thing, but the interesting thing is that we all of us are seeking to find another person who is going to nurture us in the way that we weren't nurtured by our parents. So in doing that, we're looking for somebody who's going to nurture us. And so they have to appear to us as being capable, self-sufficient, you know, in some kind of an alignment, you know, because otherwise they're not attractive to us. Because how are they going to take mm-hmm. care of me if they have all these issues?
Exactly. Okay, read
right.
From my version here. It says that lovers cling to the illusion of romantic love. This requires a great deal of unconscious play acting. I said lovers engagement is trying to appear to be more emotionally healthy than they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Guilty.
Yep.
You could be Cinderella for just so long. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lose the slipper and my pumpkin's going to pop
right.
out. So it's okay.
Yeah, literally. I'm not kidding. Especially in female relationships, you know, mm-hmm. we tend to do that. I have a lot of female relationships where we're really working at being more authentic with each other instead of the pretending everything's fine. I'm fine. You fine? Yeah, I'm fine. You okay? I'm okay. Yeah. It's like, no, wait a minute. That's, you know, that's not, that doesn't really mean anything anyway when you say fine and I'm okay. What is really going on? And I'm excited about what I'm seeing is we are working at being more authentic with each other in female friendships and also in, you know, in our relationships in general.
Well, because we are becoming more healed internally,
mm-hmm.
so it's safer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not looking to those people to make us okay. We're just looking for them to be there with us as we're on our journey.
That's beautiful. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's exactly it. And walking us together. And I think one of the most important components of this chapter is projection and
mm-hmm.
and owning that. And I think part of projection is say it's something inside of you that you maybe not see or you're in denial of or you get glimpses of but you're afraid to own it. And I think a part of projection that a lot of people don't think about, people think that projection is just negative traits that you're projecting. They are also positive traits. It isn't negative or positive. Projection is just something inside of yourself that you're not seeing.
Yeah, just some denied part of yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
In my family, it was very positive to be smart, but not to be creative. So that part of me got denied for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So any time I saw somebody who was creative, I was attracted to that. Somebody who was more free, you know? But as I've worked on myself and I've rekindled that within myself, I don't have to project and look for it in someone else. Now I get to share it with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like just have fun time together. Yeah, and just go back to denial for a second. One thing that Harvard says is there's no time in our lives when our denial mechanism is more fully engaged than the early stages of a love relationship. because, you know, he uses examples of a couple that you could see there was toxicity at the beginning of it, but especially on the woman's part, she was very judgmental and said all these things, and the guy kept saying, oh, well, she's very, you know, she just likes nice things, and she's just particular in the way she wants something. You know, he kept making all these excuses for things when she was just, you know, she was very quick to be judging and things like that, and even being harsh with people and things like that. He kept making it okay, you know, on the different kinds of things that she did with each other, which I found to be very, very interesting, you know, just like the sense of the projection. And even in this projected with relationships, you know, hidden parts of ourselves that we project, and they are actually repressed emotions onto another, and the fact that we can't own them for ourselves. So, you know, it's like when you see somebody raging, there's actually that sense of the way that you can't necessarily express anger, but this other person's doing it in a way they're like, wow, I wish I could be that, you know, expressing in my emotions.
Mm-hmm. But you're not even aware of it on a conscious level.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, but yeah, you know, and like the example was this man had these two different women in his life as an example in the chapter, and one of the women that was very more critical and distant and things like that reminded him of his mother, and so he was more attracted to the woman who was distant, when actually there was another woman that he really didn't feel attracted to, but she was actually easier to be around and actually would have been a better, you know, match for him, because, you know, she didn't have all the critical and distant behaviors that the other girl did. But of course,
yeah,
you know, what's
she
home?
Would,
what's
she wouldn't
like
be
mom?
A better match. But she wouldn't be a better match
right.
Is the point.
Exactly. So for him to be able to heal it, you know, that's the person he needs to go to, is the one that has those things that are representing of what he didn't get as a care, you know, with his caretaker, which was mom.
So that's the interesting part to me, because society would say the other woman who was more caring would be a better match, and from the outside, people would judge, like, why does he like, you know, Cheryl? Why does he want to be with her? And I see it over and over with people where we're like, what is she doing with him? What is he doing with her? And it just understanding these types of relationships and what's actually happening and the looking for the healing, it gives me a lot more compassion about why people are together, and like less judgment, you know, so-and-so, you should leave him or whatever. You know what I mean? When you hear people just give advice to other people about their relationships, if we really understood what these people were trying to heal in the relationship, we would just keep our mouth shut and just try to support them.
Amy,
you know,
tell her,
I mean,
about that greeting card you got the other day that you found.
Oh, I have a good friend who's going through something that a lot of people are judging in terms of a relationship. And, let me find it real quick. So I had, it was so funny, got her this card, and she ended up having a real problem with a friend of hers, she happens to work with, who totally lost her mind about her going back to this relationship, you know, precisely what you're saying. Really. He talks about, this is interesting. I cannot get it to come up. Isn't that interesting? How people are, you know, like you're saying, are judging us, here we go, about these relationships that we're in. Says you're better off, the big front of the card says, you're better off without him. I always thought he was a jerk. And then, dang it. That's interesting. And said, and if you happen to get back together with him again, forget everything that I just said.
Yeah, exactly.
And she and I had, you know, quite a conversation about it, because there are people in her life not accepting her for, you know, staying in this relationship. But she is very conscious about what's going on. And just for myself, having done so much work, and I know, you know, that you both have too, I think it's, for me, it's really important to have those relationships in my life where we can openly talk about, okay, that's, you know, whatever your pattern is, right? And what is really happening? And I want to talk a little bit about projection. I was pulling out some of my material in my master's in spiritual psychology, and we talked a lot about projection. And they talk about the recognition of projection is surprisingly simple and based on willingness. What's required is the willingness to acknowledge that some event has triggered mentally or emotionally an imbalance inside yourself, and that you are looking for what is my next learning opportunity. And like you're saying, Michelle, what is going on for me? Instead of blaming that outside source, knowing that it's really about me and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so lovely to have relationships where you can say, uh-oh, school's in session, or whatever words you want to use. We're really moved out of really having a conversation here into I'm in this whatever triggered state, and I'm in that timelessness or whatever you want to phrase that, where oh crap, I'm like the reptilian brain's taken over, and I'm spacing out.
Well, it's interesting because in the book, Harville he has a section that says romantic love defined. And he says it's described as a mixture of denial, transference, and projection. So when we're in these challenging relationships, that's what love is, right? And it says, like, okay, for example, with John and Cheryl, Cheryl was not a real person with needs and desires of her own. She was a resource for the satisfaction of his unconscious childhood longings. So if it's an unconscious childhood longing and we're not aware of what the relationship is serving for us, no wonder we're having all of these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. You know, and if you can come from that perspective when you've got different things in front of you, you know, and I want to think about Byron Katie when, you know, it's about doing the work, her work, where it's to me, it was the one thing for all of that work for me was the turnaround and being able to turn around and look at it for yourself. You know, you can project all day long, but let me turn it around and look at me. How am I in that? So to me, you know, when I read this chapter, I was really looking at it. I was just like, I did these questions to myself, you know. I feel like I've just met you, you know, but somehow I feel like I've already know you. Imagine if we had these conversations with ourselves and being able to see maybe, you know, where that would take us. I mean, we'll make it a journaling exercise or something and just say, you know, I love you so much I can't live without you. Boy, if you said that to yourself, my goodness, how powerful that is.
So, I guess, just, what do we do with this chapter then? So we're, you know, we've got a couple minutes left. Michelle, what do you recommend? Was it one of the exercises? How do we make sense out of this for ourselves?
To tell you the truth, I haven't looked at the exercises. I would just say, you know, just be aware of what, quote-unquote, falling in love with somebody really is. It's just an opportunity to learn more about who we are. You know, so I would just be more aware, be more present, be more willing to see what gets triggered within.
And may I throw out also, that along the lines of what you're saying, really the same thing, I know a lot of people who push away romantic love, but that the same thing can be happening when they're attracted to a new friend. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've pushed away, oh, I don't want to be in love, I don't want to be in a relationship, but there's probably going to be an opportunity, somebody you met at an event or something, and, oh, that'd be a really good friend. So maybe that might be another place that you can have the opportunity to see this if you're pushing
love
away.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Yeah, I think that's great advice. Because, I mean, for whatever reason, we feel comfortable or we feel like I want to spend time with this person, And I think it's just, you know, distressing that and having it to where you've got some, you know, just take it slow and to have some boundaries of what you do and don't do together. And just, learn about each other.
And if you're in romantic love with somebody, enjoy the ride while it lasts.
Amen.
There you go, baby.
Because it feels good.
Enjoy that puppy.
It feels good.
It does. It does feel really great. It enjoy those
really
endorphins.
Good.
There you go. Yeah,
it's actually, it's really positive if you can feel those feelings, because at least it lets you know you have the capability of having that experience. Now the challenge is, can we do that from within?
There you go.
And I have to share this with you.
Yes,
this
we can.
This is kind of crazy, but my dear husband just posted something on Facebook. I just noticed it went flying by, and it's two people on a tandem bike. And it says, be with someone who will take care of you, not materialistically, but take care of your soul, your well-being, your heart, and everything that's you.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Wow. I wonder what he wants.
Just to love you and go for a great ride. There you go. I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Well, like normal, 30 minutes is always going super fast. We just want to thank everybody for joining us, especially Miss Amy and Miss Michelle. Thank you, lady. It's a great conversation.
Thank you. Good conversation.
Yeah. And so next week we're going to have a really interesting show. We're actually going to be talking about adult children from people who served in the military. And we're really going to focus more, I think, with Vietnam and Korean Wars, and really working from that level, and what's going on now with the younger generations, and how that's changing. So it's something that Amy and I have a lot of heart about, and we're looking forward to the conversation. We'll have a few guests with us, and Mr. Ross, I think, will be joining us as well.
He will.
Be something really great. So yeah. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.